It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Busanemaye, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you. How are you? And to all our listeners, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. So our question for today was rather interesting for me to read, and I thought I should offer you the opportunity to address it. But I want to give you some context so that you understand the context we're coming from, or the perspective we're coming with this question. The question reads, can a mass murderer go to heaven for accepting your religion, while a kind doctor goes to hell for not? Now, this question has three things that I found rather interesting, which I'm hoping you'll be able to address. One, going to heaven? I thought we're all going to the grave to wait. Not going to hell, because we're all going to the grave to wait. But this person presupposes that other people go to heaven and other people go to hell. Just, I need you to address that part. And then he talks about a mass murderer, which I am assuming is a sin, just as much as disbelief is equally a sin, which implies that this person is regulating sins. There's one sin which is greater than the other. And then the third part that I was hoping you'd address is the value judgments. Whether we have the capacity to address and give value judgments who is worthy to go to heaven and who is not. So there's the question, Pastor. Can a mass murderer go to heaven for accepting your religion, while a kind doctor goes to hell for not? So I think the obvious part, which I thought I was going to make the fourth part, but it's obvious you're going to address that one, the issue of religion as opposed to God's will, whether it's in religion or outside. I thought that was obvious, so I'll leave that one to you to just. But these other three, I was hoping you'd address them as well, whilst you address the main one. Go ahead, Pastor.
Great. Thank you very much. Interesting question, and I like the way you have dissected it. Yes, indeed, you are right that when we die, we wait for going to heaven whilst we are in the grave. And this waiting will only end at the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he resurrects the righteous. And if by some chance Christ perhaps comes today and we are alive, then we will be translated straight into heaven. So that is a very interesting one, and a good starting point for our discussion. But now, still the question remains, okay, fine. At that time, when the saints will go to heaven, the question is still there and remains, will a mass murderer go to heaven for accepting our religion? Let's talk about the going to heaven aspect. Now, going to heaven is the ultimate reward for salvation. It is the reward for the saved. We will be in heaven for a holiday for 1,000 years, a millennium. We've had discussions around this in many of our programs that we have here. But then, what is the qualification for going to heaven? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I think this is foundational to any discussion about salvation and about going to heaven. We are saved through faith, by grace. We are not saved through a religion, a church, but by simply accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And by faith, we are granted Christ's righteousness, and therefore we are worthy to be in the kingdom of God, and we are worthy of heaven. So it is not much about religion, but it's about accepting Christ as your personal savior. But yes, religion plays a part. There are some religions that do not recognize Christ as the Messiah. There are religions that do not even realize God as the creator, as the supreme being. So we can also talk of false religions that now exist. So we will also need to be clear that when we also speak of religion, we are speaking of the true religion, which, as far as we are concerned, has God as the creator and the supreme being, and we Christ coming as our savior. So yes, you can call yourself I'm a Christian as far as religion is concerned, but that's just not enough. That's not enough. We need to accept Christ as our personal savior, and then we follow his word and follow his word. So now when a mass murderer accepts Christ as a personal savior, they are forgiven. And yes, they become worthy of the kingdom of God through the forgiveness and the power of Christ, this grace and this faith. He is counted as a righteous man. This mass murderer is counted as a righteous man and then becomes a partaker in the kingdom of God. In fact, if we go back into the Bible, we have people who committed murder, who by faith we believe are going to be in the kingdom. David was instrumental in the assassination of Uriah, for example. But he was forgiven after he asked for forgiveness. Maybe it's not a mass murder, it was a one-man murder, but the principle is the same.
Samson was a mass murderer.
Exactly. Samson was a mass murderer, but Paul, at the last point of his life, he sought for power from God.
Right.
And we expect Paul also was a mass murderer.
Absolutely.
But after his conversion and accepted the religion of Christ,
right,
we expect he's going to be in the kingdom of God. So yes, a mass murderer or any other sinner will be in the kingdom. But now let's talk about a kind doctor. That's
right,
an interesting one.
Right.
A kind doctor. Now, again, remember, we said in Ephesians 2, verse
Sorry, Pastor, go again because your line went dead as soon as you started saying the kind doctor. After that, it died. Just pick up from there.
Okay, sorry about that. So we need to come back to our foundational text for today, that for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
So the kindness of the doctor in itself cannot save anyone.
Right.
In fact, the Bible is clear that our righteousness is like filthy rags before God.
Absolutely.
It's like filthy rags before God. But then Philippians 2 verse 12 also says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we can never on our own be able to do something good.
Right.
So what we may term as kindness from the doctor, who knows, maybe there are selfish reasons, selfish motives behind it. We cannot even measure if it is perfect kindness from God. But again, that kindness does not warrant any man salvation. We are saved through Christ. Christ's sacrificial death on the cross is our passport to going to heaven. So yes, a kind doctor may also not be able to see heaven if they have not accepted Jesus as their personal savior, if they've not accepted Christ as their personal savior. So yes, there's so many philanthropists that we see.
Absolutely.
See a lot of non-governmental organizations that distribute food, close to people. They're doing good and nice things, but maybe if they're doing that for some reasons, is it because they have the love of Christ in them? Are they motivated by the love of Christ? Maybe, but maybe not as well. So it's not about works, just as Paul has told us in Ephesians 2 verse 8, lest any man would boast. We are all saved by grace, through faith, by accepting Jesus, then Christ imputes righteousness to us. And it is the righteousness of Christ alone that merits us heaven. Our own righteousness can never merit heaven for us. Only the perfect righteousness of Christ merits us heaven. So the kindness of a doctor or of any person is not enough for salvation, but that of Christ.
So the assumption that we make as lay people, Pastor, which perhaps you can help clarify, is that no one can be good in and by themselves. Their goodness, they are given that as a gift from God. Their kindness, they get that from God, right?
Perfectly so. For we are born in iniquity, and
right.
Our natural tendency is that of unrighteousness.
Right.
We are bent toward evil. It's only Christ's regenerating power that
right.
can bring kindness to us. But even with that, it's not the kindness that will earn us heaven.
Yeah.
It is still the merits of Christ.
So if Christ gives us his character to be kind, he gives us his his abilities to heal, to be doctors. The fact
yes,
that the
yes,
person
yes.
does not identify himself as a Christian does not change the fact that Christ is in that person and makes that person to be able to heal and to be kind.
Indeed. So Paul then says that it is not longer I that lives, but Christ
Absolutely.
Living in me.
Right.
So it's a perfect acceptance that these good things, these kind works that I'm doing,
right.
it's not me.
Right.
I cannot do them.
Absolutely.
But Christ in me, the
right.
hope of all glory,
Absolutely.
Who is doing it in me. So it is all of Christ. It is the merits of Christ.
So even though the person does not identify themselves as a Christian or an Adventist, that person is going to heaven because they are living according to Christ. They are Christ. It is Christ living in them, right?
Christ is continuously trying to invite all of us to his kingdom,
right?
To his salvation.
Mm.
So even those works, Christ is still trying to trigger us
right.
to accept him as the Savior. So he is ever whispering every good act that a man can do. It is because of the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit. But we still need to take a further step to then say, I need this Christ to now dwell in me. Yes, he is influencing me. Sometimes we even rebel against the influence.
Hmm.
So we need to fully accept Christ as our personal Savior.
So if the person is acting out these acts of kindness and healing, does that mean that they've already accepted and they're living according to Christ? They're allowing Christ to rule in them?
It may not necessarily mean so, but what we can conclude conclusively
right.
is that it is Christ who is influencing them
right.
to realize that there is a power to do good that we need to fully grasp and allow to live in our hearts, in our minds, so that we may fully reflect the character of God in us. So even a mass murderer, you find there is a moment when they can probably share a meal with somebody. It doesn't. So they're still a murderer, but they can share a meal with someone. That's a moment of kindness that they've shown. But it's Christ who enables them to do that. But Christ is still doing that so as to invite this mass murderer to leave all these works and take over the works of Christ.
So when we see the fruits of the Spirit in the doctor, who is now showing kindness as a fruit of the Spirit, why are we not convinced that it is no longer him, the doctor, living in him, but Christ, who is now exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, as opposed to the mass murderer who will come and say, like Constantine, I am now baptized, but still continues to do nothing that is akin to the fruit of the Spirit? Surely Christ said, you will know them by their fruit. People who confess with their mouth but have no fruit are not what Christ is talking about. Even if you don't confess with your mouth, but if you demonstrate the fruit, like the doctor, isn't that what Christ is talking about?
Interesting question. Yes, indeed. By their fruits, we will know them.
Absolutely.
Do you know when you speak specifically of doctors that they are also guided by some code of ethics,
right,
by which they should live by?
Yes.
They are bound by
the Hippocratic oath.
Yes, which they have to live by. So
right.
That is why we are continuing to say we need these kind acts indeed to be a fruit of the Spirit, the acceptance of Christ, not just a mere act of abiding by some ethical code from a certain profession. Accountants also have ethical codes that require that they're honest in their reporting of their financial accounts, for example. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody is just abiding by a certain code of conduct. So the fruit of the Spirit is something that is specifically arising from Christ living in us, accepting, making a conscious decision to accept Christ as a personal Savior. And this is the call that we are making to everybody, that let us not be bound and forced to exhibit some kindness because of certain factors surrounding us, but it is a natural expression of what the Spirit has done to us, a renewal that the Spirit of God has done in our hearts, and only God can confirm. And there are many other.
That's a fair point that you're making there, Pastor, and perhaps you need to help me understand then, because we have police officers who are guided by the law of the land who still go ahead to become criminals and thieves and murderers and rapists, and yet they're police officers. We have lawyers. We have lawyers who are experts in law, but go ahead to defraud people in the money that they're supposed to be having and liars. Instead of being lawyers, they become liars. We have pastors.
They become liars.
Yeah, we've got pastors who we know have raped and slept with other people's wives and couldn't sell drugs, and yet they're pastors. Though there's other codes that guide them, they don't abide by them. And hence we want to help to be helped to understand, is it not the Spirit in the person that helps the police officer to keep the law? Is it not the Spirit of God in the doctor that causes the doctor not to kill but to heal? Is it not the Spirit of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that helps the pastor to not sleep with people's wives and lie and sell drugs and so forth? Is it not the Spirit of God that enables people who otherwise would violate even the ethics that they are bound by, but because there is a Spirit, it helps them to keep the ethics and the will of God? Is it not the Holy Spirit that helps those people to do that?
You are right, my brother. You are right. And I hope my listeners are listening too carefully. In fact, like we read, I'll read again. I was just reading to you Philippians 2, verse 18, that for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Right.
So yes, indeed. We can never take away the Spirit of God from all the kindness that we can perform, all the good things that a doctor, a police officer, a pastor can do. But we need to move from just then the ethical codes of conduct, what is required in a work line, to be the motivation, the reason why I'm not stealing because I'm afraid of being fired as an accountant. If I don't do my job well as a doctor, my practicing license will be revoked. It then has to be, it's because the Spirit of God dwells in me. I'm a child of God, and God does not want this kind of behavior, and therefore God in me is causing me
people can do good without the Spirit? Are you saying that the accountant can do good without the Spirit? He can just do it purely because of the code? Are you saying the code has the power to make people good? The ethical codes you're talking about.
The, In fact, the question gets even more technical, that they may not actually steal the money, but in their hearts and their minds, probably they've actually stolen it. So they've only not done it because they are afraid of the consequences. So you actually can't quite say that they've done good. So you're right that ultimately doing good is a result of the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's the result of the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, whether they are codes or not.
Yeah. Yeah, whether they're codes or not. Yeah. Right. But there are some who are strictly simply bound by the codes. And they have no idea.
Those are
God
the ones
is.
I'm asking about, Pastor. Are you saying those are strictly doing it because the code is making them do it, not the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you saying that there are people who are good in and by themselves purely because they have a fear of being arrested?
So technically, they're not good. If you ask me, they are not good. It's not that they're good, but it's simply because the circumstances have not allowed them to express what it is in their heart. The Bible even says that if any man looks at a woman lustfully, they have even committed adultery with them. So, as far as you and me can see, you can say, oh, the pastor has not committed adultery. Mm. They've done good. They've not done anything to this woman. They've done good. But when God watches, they're saying, oh, in their hearts, they actually wanted to go for it. Mm. So in our eyes, we may think and we may feel that they are doing good, but from God's perspective, it could be a totally different game together. But ultimately, we cannot do good on our own as human beings.
Okay. We're going to leave it there, Pastor. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your answers. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Brother Pastor.
Same to you. God bless.
All right. 3 minutes before one. Let's take a break and come back and give you the good news.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.